All right, it's time to get into our lesson, and it's a very simple lesson. That so simple is the fact that when I first started preaching it many years ago, I won't tell you how many, but many years ago when I started preaching it, I packed it all into one sermon. But now I've expanded it, and now I'm going to use four sermons to preach this lesson. And so it's very understandable, something we can do, and something that we are supposed to do. All right, we as Christians have the responsibility to teach others and teach them the truth. And that's something that we all should be impressed with. And that's what we talk about a lot from this pulpit, is the fact that we all have that responsibility. It's not just the preacher's job to preach lessons, but each and every one of us have a duty to those that we know. And that's your world that you live in. You have that responsibility. I cannot come on your job site and teach your coworkers. That is your responsibility. Now, what I can do is to encourage you and give you some ideas on how you can best do that. And that's what these lessons are going to be about. How can we teach people these things? See, sometimes just coming out bluntly and telling somebody something, it might be a little bit hard to take for them. And sometimes it has to be presented in an understandable way. And that's what we all would like to do, is how to help people understand things that are spiritual in nature, and do use that as a comparison. Now, several years ago, like it's been many years now, I was asked to prepare a sermon on how to explain the church to someone who is unfamiliar with the Bible. I was actually we had a little men's training class we had on Sunday afternoons, and this was the assignment given to everybody. So I started thinking about it, my mind started going around, and I came up with this idea, and I was struck with these thoughts. And so we're going to get into that, and if you've already looked at the plans, you know what I'm going to be talking about. But I have revised the sermon over the years, and hopefully to be more effective, something that we can understand. So this is truly an original sermon by me. All right. There is nothing wrong to try and explain the truth in a way that can be understood. In fact, it's kind of important that we do, because we don't want to mislead anybody. We want to tell them the truth, and providing we don't add any thoughts or subtract any thoughts from what the original text reveals, then we may do so. And we should be trying to do this. And so we in our day should make comparisons of the things that people know about. You know, that's what Jesus, he used that same method. Remember, he spoke in parables. And so we have these examples of teaching. In Matthew 13:10, and the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And of course, in verse 13, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." In verses 34 and 35, which are scripture reading this morning, all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And he didn't speak to them without using a parable. And of course, that was to fulfill prophecy, but yet it was also something that these people would be able to take and remember. And most of the time, and we'll see this later on, Jesus used things like agriculture, fishing, things that the people of that day knew about. And so when he was trying to explain something that nobody had ever seen or heard, then yes, he had to use descriptive terms of something they were familiar with. Now, if we will just kind of wrap that forward a little bit, we'll see this. In Mark 4, verse 2, "Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching." And then in verse 33, "And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it." See, not all of them really understood this. A lot of people, they just heard this great orator talking. They heard this man talking and telling these stories, and that's all they heard was stories. Now, some people kind of started, there's a moral to this story somehow. And a lot of times when we see a story, we want to see what's the moral to the story. And so some people have perceived that. When Jesus was talking another parable, it says in one place the Sadducees perceived that he was talking about them. So somehow, some way, they weren't able to connect the dots, but they said something is going on here, and what's he trying to tell us? And so some weren't able to just hear the flat-out truth. They were guided and led along by these parables. So he began to speak to them in parables. Now the purpose of the teaching, as we find out, Mark 4:11, and he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables." Now, to the you here, that's his disciples. His disciples were there. They were going to be given this information. And he says, it's for you to know. But for them, they're only going to hear parables. And in Matthew 13, once again, the scripture reading from this morning. Matthew 21:45, "Now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them." And so that does happen sometimes when you're telling a story, as we've been going through in our Sunday morning class session, when these parables Jesus was designed for the Pharisees, for them to hear, without just coming out and saying, "Okay, you Pharisees, you're a bunch of jerks." Rather than saying that, he kind of gave them parables. In Mark 4:34, "And without a parable he did not speak to them, and when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples." And luckily, we have it written down for us what he explained to them. But why teach by parables? It's very simple. Most parables were stories with moral implications. I mean, that you can understand that. Occasionally it would be a comparison type of a parable to describe something of the truth, such as the kingdom. And so here's the question: how can you describe something that is spiritual to one who only sees the physical? How can you describe something to someone who is blind? Have you ever tried and thought about, you know someone who is blind and try and explain different colors? Can you imagine how to do that? Well, how do you describe blue to a blind person? I mean, it's almost impossible, wouldn't it? Well, here's Jesus' situation. He's coming in teaching about the kingdom of heaven, something that nobody had ever experienced, something nobody had ever seen. And now he's got to somehow explain this to people that they can understand. And so he uses these parables. And we see that. This applies to all of us and should help us. When we understand that when we think of things in a spiritual way and we come across someone who only thinks in a physical human way, how do we get them to see and understand these things? See, like I said, some people would only hear an interesting story being told by a good teacher. Others would perceive there was a moral to the story but could not figure it out. Now that we've been enlightened by God's whole truth, we can understand what he was trying to tell them and what he's telling us. So there was always an explanation. Jesus gave these explanations, and some of them are written down for us. It says he did not speak to them, and when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Remember the parable of the sower? That's what he was talking about. Here's the seed is the word of God. Go out and plant the seed. Now, where did the sower plant the seed? He planted it everywhere. Just like we should just be planting seed everywhere. And then it's going to fall. A lot of it's on hard hearts. A lot of it on worldly thoughts. Some of it will fall on good soil. It's not our place to determine what is what. We just plant the seed. That is our duty and our job. So in Matthew 22:2 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son." So he's explaining the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 13, he gives a bunch, about seven times, seven different parables in Matthew 13, each one starting with the kingdom of heaven is like. And so he used that. Now to focus on us, it is our responsibility to teach. If we are a child of God, we have this responsibility. Usually we leave it up to the preacher or we leave it up to somebody else, but God gives each and every one of us that responsibility. The Bible was written to reveal God and instruct us in righteousness. And that's what we're supposed to do. And that's what it's there for. As Christians, we have the responsibility to teach and bear fruit for the Master. John 15:2, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. He wants people that are useful to him. That's what he wants. And that's we talked about that when we talked about value last week. Do you have any value for the Lord? Are you productive for the Lord? And that's something we need to examine ourselves and determine. Now, Luke 8:15 says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. We don't know where those good hearts are, do we? Now, we look at people, and as we discussed in class, we look at people and say, no, they're not a good candidate. They have a wicked mind and things like that. That's not our place to judge people that whether they're worthy to receive the gospel. The Bible tells us to see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. And that's Hebrews chapter 12 and around verse 15. And that basically puts the charge upon each and every one of us. If someone's not going to be exposed to the gospel, don't let it be because of me. That's the way we should feel about it. It should not be because, well, I never mentioned him to this other person. Remember that song we sing, "You Never Mentioned Him to Me"? I mean, that ought to just strike each and every one of us. We all interact with people every day. And we see them every day. As the song says, "You met me day by day and knew I was astray, yet you never mentioned him to me." See, if you're not willing to share the gospel message, you have no value to God. Because that's what he wants. He wants his message out. And so keep that in mind. Now, the truth is the most important element when it comes to serving God. Many religions will want to change it or add to it or leave certain elements out. All of this does not take away from the truth of God. It only serves to judge them. And we don't want to add to or take away or change any of these things. In 1 Samuel 12:24, it says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you." I mean, we could make a whole sermon on this one verse right here. What has God done for you? He's done great things for you. And yes, keep that in mind. In 1 Kings 17:24, then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." He had just raised her son, but she had been listening to him for a while. Now, all of a sudden, here was convincing proof. This was a man of God. So if he was saying it, it must be coming from God. And so when we speak as the oracles of God, we read there 1 Peter 4:11, if we speak as the oracles of God, we've got to be speaking as if we are God's spokesman. I mean, that puts a great responsibility on us. And James chapter 3 says, "Be not many of you teachers, because we shall incur a stricter judgment." Yes, there is a responsibility there, and we have to take it seriously. See, a miracle had just been performed. The miracle was given to confirm the message given by this one. It has divine origins and approval. Now, the truth is the most important thing to teach. A lot of people get up on Sunday morning and teach lessons, but they don't speak the truth. Or they have some truth mixed in with their lies. And so we need to understand this as well. In Psalm 25, the psalmist says, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." That is who is supposed to teach us. And God does teach us through his word. And so we need to ask him to guide us and lead us in this teaching. In verse 10, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." And so it is the truth. All of his paths, all of his ways, everything he gives to us is always truth. When Jesus prayed, "Thy word is truth." And the seed is the word of God. The word of God is truth. And that's how we must take it. In Psalm 33:4, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. Everything God does is according to the truth that he has already established. Psalm 100:5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Some versions say his mercy endureth forever, and his truth is as sound. Psalm 119:142, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. So the law of God was truth. Now, Psalm 119:151, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. In verse 160, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. We can expand that. Every word in the Bible is the truth. And so that's what it's talking about. We can put our confidence in God's word and know this is the truth. We cannot go wrong with the truth as long as we recognize where the truth is. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. In John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Truth is supreme. It must always reign supreme for each and every one of us. John 4:23-24, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So truth is supreme. Once again, the prayer of Jesus, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17. John 18:38. Pilate said to him, what is truth? I mean, that's a question. I guess asked sarcastically. I don't think he was really trying to figure out and ask Jesus what the truth is. But it was a very sarcastic statement by Pilate. But to answer this question, what is truth, we must now attempt to answer it in a language that would be appropriate and understandable by today's people. Jesus usually spoke in terms of agriculture or fishing, which those people would understand. Let's modernize it a little bit and bring it closer to home. See, the truth is like a Big Mac. Guess what? You're going to have to come back for this. See, our time is up this morning. And actually, I've got a few minutes to spare if I wanted to keep going. But I've got the next lesson prepared for tonight. We're going to look at that. And so we're going to see how it is. Now, you can get your minds going. Start thinking about it. How can the truth be like a Big Mac? When you see it, it might make some sense to you. But anyway, we see the necessity of teaching others. That is our job and is our responsibility, each and every one of us who is a Christian. If you're not a Christian yet, you need to know that if you decide to become a Christian, that will be your job. And so we saw how Jesus taught others. He took things which they understood and translated that so that they could understand these other principles that he was teaching them. He was taking something they'd never seen, like the kingdom of heaven. Nobody's ever seen that, but yet he put it in and spoke by parables. Sometimes we call this word pictures, that these are descriptions that we can use words to describe certain things which people have not seen. And Jesus did a lot of that. A lot of our teaching is basically along the same line. I was looking at my plans for the next month of what I'm going to preach, and there's a lot of analogies that we'll be using. There's a lot of descriptions and ways that we can take from our personal experience and see how we can teach others the truth. And so we do this all the time. So we learn why we teach others, because they need to hear the truth, plain and simple. It's not our place to decide whether they deserve the truth or not. That's not it. You remember Jonah? He hated the idea of taking the message to the Assyrians, and he just wanted to see them wiped off the face of the earth. And he said, he kind of hesitated because he says, God, I know you're a loving God. If they repent, you're going to give up. You're not going to destroy them. And that was his feeling. He wanted them dead, so he didn't want to tell them the truth. But God convinced him. What it all comes down to is presenting the truth that can save souls. That's what it gets down to. Now, come back this evening. We're going to see how the truth is like a Big Mac. And I think you'll be surprised. I think you'll find that it makes sense. And it's maybe something you can use in your efforts to teach your friends. Because who doesn't know what a Big Mac is? Is there anybody in this room? Okay, everybody knows what it is, all right? So, but there's a lot of people don't know what the truth is. We all could agree with that as well. So come back tonight and see how the truth is like a Big Mac, and let's see the comparisons we can make and learn from this. We don't want to leave without offering the gospel invitation. That is so very important, because that's why we're here. We're here to help each other get to heaven. And the only way we can do that is by following the rules that God has given us. God has told us what we need to do. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died on the cross for our sins. Why? Because we were sinners. We're all sinners. Christ died while we were yet sinners. He died for us. And yet we must recognize that. And we've sinned against God. And we have sin in our life. And our sin separates us from God. But when we decide to make a change in our life, we repent, we turn around, we stop the sin in our lives and start living the way God wants us to live. And then we confess the name of Jesus and we're baptized for the remission of our sins and our sins are washed away. We become a child of God. Then that begins our journey of living the Christian life and doing those things. Constantly learning. We're building up day by day, learning more about these things and what we need to do to be saved. And when we get to that point that we realize, yes, we need to teach others because that's what He expects of us. You know, the Hebrew writer says, by this time you ought to be teachers. So, yes, we have that responsibility. And we're going to get there. And so we just need to help ourselves along by getting involved and focusing on these things. Maybe you have obeyed the gospel, but yet you've let things slide. And you haven't been faithful as you should be. And you realize that. And it's time to get back with the Lord. It's time to say, let's have a do-over. Let me start afresh. And that's the privilege God gives each and every one of us every day. We can start every day fresh as a clean Christian and be justified in His sight. What do we have to do? Just confess to Him. Tell Him our sins. I've sinned against you. God is faithful and just, who will forgive us our sins. Why? Because He tells us so. So if we can help you in any way, we're going to invite you to come while together.